phone was off. That was not a good deal. But we're just going to go at whatever pace you feel like it this afternoon, and then we'll see where it leads us. I'm kind of interested in hearing your story about why you happen to be in the Navy. That's kind of interesting to me. This is John McLaughlin, and I'm interviewing Richard Gerber in Dodge City at his home, 506 Edgemore in Dodge City. We've signed the release, and I gave him an idea of what we were going to cover this afternoon. You were in the military for quite a while, weren't you, Richard?
4 years.
Okay. Now, somebody wrote a note here that there was a note that said you were in the Navy and that you... I don't know who made this note, but it said 42 to 46.
Correct.
Those are your years of service. And that was in the World War II to Korean War era. So you were an MS third class. Now, what would that mean to a lay person?
Metalsmith.
Okay, so you worked with metal then. We'll learn more about that in a little while. You served on the USS Mount Vernon.
Correct.
Now that was a light cruiser, maybe?
Troop ship.
A troop ship. Okay. That's going to be interesting. Was it named after the town, Mount Vernon, and where Washington lived? Or
it was an old luxury liner, USS Washington, that the Navy took over a year or so before the war started.
I see.
And why they named it the Mount Vernon, but I guess Washington and Mount Vernon, that would probably explain that.
The connection, but it had served as a...
It was about 10 years old at the time, and mm-hmm. the Navy took it over, like I said, you know, when they started the draft about a year before World War II started, mm-hmm. we had a draft. At the same time, they called in the Naval Reserves. And the Navy Reserves took over the ship.
That's kind of cool. So you served where?
I was on that ship for 3 years.
Wow. Whereabouts did you go?
We went to dozens of... You want me to name some of them?
Yeah, that'd be great.
We went to Hawaii several times. We would take a load of troops, 7,000.
Uh-huh.
And
that's a big boat.
Take them to, like, we took several loads to Hawaii, Pearl Harbor, and mm-hmm. we took them to Australia, New Guinea, Bombay, India, New Zealand, New Guinea. I guess I named New Guinea.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that for 2 years. And our home port was San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while we'd go down to L.A. or San Pedro or San Diego, but usually we'd be back to San Francisco. After a couple years doing that in the Pacific, why we come back through the Panama Canal and around the East Coast. So for the last year of the war, we were hauling troops out of mostly Boston and New York over to England.
So you were in both the Pacific and the Atlantic campaign.
Right. And we would take a load of troops over, and usually we'd bring back some German prisoners of war.
Was there a little difference of treatment of those gentlemen?
No, they...
did pretty good?
Yeah, they were sort of isolated in a certain area of the ship. And
mm-hmm.
we didn't bother them, they didn't bother us.
Metalsmith, could you explain to us, like on a daily basis, what your routine was?
I worked in the machine shop.
Okay.
So I did a lot of welding and lay work, drill press, that sort of thing.
People break things. Sailors break things,
was,
don't they?
We'd done just the general repairs of the ship. There was mm-hmm. a lot of always different things that needed repairing.
Do you remember how long it was?
The ship?
Yeah.
It was a little over 700 feet.
That was a good-sized ship, yes. Yeah, so just to give people a perspective, 7,000 people, not everybody got their own cabin.
No, that's for sure. They were stacked in there, you know, usually yeah. about four bunks high. The troops were really jammed in.
You had a little better as a petty officer?
Petty officers, of course, they had better, but I wasn't a petty officer.
Oh. Well, towards the end, you would.
Well, that third class, about as high as I got, I was just a machinist.
Mm-hmm.
And every ship had so many machinists or whatever, electricians,
mm-hmm.
at a certain rate that they could have. And you could take an examination and pass it, but if there wasn't a
slot,
an opening above that, well, you still didn't get passed. So I switched to metalsmith to thought maybe I could, there was room for advancement.
And?
But I probably shouldn't tell, but we had a warrant officer that was our division officer. And he'd been in for 20 years plus, and he didn't care about anything, and he was rummy.
Mm-hmm.
He was out of it most of the time, and he didn't care. And he didn't care what we'd done. We just took care of our job, and he didn't bother us.
I'm afraid you weren't the Lone Ranger. Yeah, I know what you mean. But that's not telling tales out of school. It's telling what actually happened, and that's yep, kind of what right. we're looking for. If you had to say there was something about your service that was most memorable, what would you say that would be?
Well, that's kind of hard to tell. I just always felt like I had really good duty, because so many guys were stranded on some island or on some ship that was going nowhere.
Well, you did join the Navy and see the world, didn't
and
you?
We moved. I figured I traveled over 350,000 miles on the water. I figured in that 3 years, 2 years of it was cruising, and the other year was in port somewhere. So we never stayed anywhere very long.
Where did you go in the Atlantic when you were there?
Most time we went to Liverpool or Glasgow, Scotland, France, Italy, Africa. Those ports. Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah, in the Mediterranean area. Most of it was to England, taking troops in there.
Thinking back to before the war, like in 1939 when it was declared, do you remember what the reaction was locally? You're a native of Gray County, correct?
No, I was living in, in Dodge City in 1941.
My birthday.
And I went to California, and I was working out there when December the 7th, Pearl Harbor came. And so I knew I was going to get drafted anyway. So that's when I enlisted in the Navy in Los Angeles, where I enlisted.
What other memories do you have of December the 7th?
Well, I remember when I and some other folks decided to go on a little picnic that day outside of Los Angeles. We was out in some park or something. We just picked up a bunch of picnic supplies. And we was on way back into town and had the radio on when we heard Pearl Harbor. And at that time I thought, well, where's Pearl Harbor at?
Well, you found out, didn't you?
Yeah, right, quick.
Why did you join so quickly? You said you knew you would be drafted.
Well, I decided I didn't want in the Army, that I wanted to be in, my brother was in the Army. And I knew I didn't want to be in the kind of outfit he was in the infantry.
What'd the folks think of this deal?
Oh, they was, of course, didn't like it that we had, their sons were going into service, but there wasn't any choice.
Think of the day you went down to sign your name on the dotted line. What was that like?
Oh, it was, you know, everybody was doing it, so I didn't have any emotions about it.
Okay. So, you were not alone?
No, that's for sure.
Gotcha. Where did you go through your basic training?
San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Nice town.
We was there a couple weeks, and they was running out of barracks. They sent a bunch of us over to Balboa Park.
I know the place, yeah.
And there's some building there they kind of used for a barracks. Was there a few days, and they shipped us up by train to Treasure Island at San Francisco. Was there a couple days, and they put me on the Mount Vernon draft, they call it, and took me over to the ship. And less than a month after I'd went in the Navy, I was headed across
so
the Pacific.
You were the fast track without all of this gun handling and military sort of courtesies and things. If they got gold, salute it. So they figured that you were normally intelligent and could figure that out.
Well, they didn't kick me out like a few of them got kicked out, you know, basic. They were just some green kids in there that enlisted, you know.
How old were you?
I was 21.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
In fact, I guess I was 22 time I went in.
You were already away from home, so that, you know, you just let your folks know that what you were going to do, and
right.
They didn't like it, but they said okay.
Yeah.
When you left the United States on that boat after a month, what were your thoughts?
Oh, really, not a lot that I can recall. I just remember that there was 25 of us that were on this draft assigned to this ship at the time. There were 700 in the crew.
That's a fair-sized crew.
And there was 25 of us that were shipped over on this new draft to join the crew. And there's a long story to it, but I got, most of them got assigned to different quarters, but I got assigned alone to just a quarter of all the old salts that had been on the ship for a year, see. Of course, they would tell me about how they'd been around the world, see. They left Boston, went clear over to Africa and different places, and they picked up a bunch of English soldiers over there somewhere, and took them around, clear around. They didn't go through Panama, they clear around and ended up in the Philippines. And that was when the Japs were about ready to, the war had already started, see. And they say that they practically had to carry some of those soldiers, English soldiers, off the ship because they knew that they wasn't going to make it. A lot of them was in that death march.
Bataan?
Yeah.
Well, you had never been on a ship before that.
No.
Did you make the adjustment pretty well?
Oh, yeah, it was.
Big ship. You weren't jammed in, but what was it like at your little place and where you slept?
Our quarters. No, we had pretty nice quarters.
How many people shared it?
Well, the first quarters I went in, I suppose there was 15. But mm-hmm. what quarters they were when the ship was a luxury liner, it was the crew's quarters.
I
the
see.
Crew of the ship.
Oh, okay. Down below.
Was,
way down.
Yeah, where they was at.
Well, you've told me a bit about the places and what you did. What about Good Chow?
When we had them 7,000 troops on, we didn't eat too good then. But we made up for it on the way back.
When with the prisoners?
Well, we'd never had very many prisoners at one time.
Yeah.
And then we'd have some wounded. Some were wounded Americans.
Mm-hmm.
But never nothing like 7,000, you know.
Sure.
And so we always had extra good meals then when the troops were off.
You work normal hours, or did you have to do stand watches and stuff like that too? Or give me a clue of what a day on the job was like for you.
When I first went on the ship, I was in the deck, what they call the deck force. And when we was out to sea, you was on gun watch, 4 hours on and 8 hours off, around the clock. And if the 8 hours off was during working hours, which was 8 a.m. till 5 p.m, while you worked,
mm-hmm.
All the way from painting to whatever, and so you might stand a watch like 12 to 4 a.m. You just get in bed when general quarters always sounded an hour before sunup. When he's out to sea, he always got up an hour before sunup and everybody went to their battle stations.
Oh.
And so you didn't get much sleep that night.
I bet you that was fun.
So after about 3 months of that, there was one of the guys that goofed up in the machine shop, gave one of the officers some back talk, and they kicked him off the ship. And I put in for a transfer to that division. And no more watches. That was the only division on the ship that never had to stand a watch.
Which one was this now?
Well, it was on the ship, it was the A division, which was auxiliary.
Mm-hmm.
And the auxiliary was the machine shop, and they took care of all the heating and air conditioning of the whole ship and repairs.
Air conditioning in the 40s?
Well, there wasn't much air conditioning on it except for officers' quarters.
Okay. What about communication mail? Did you write and get mail? And
yeah, it was. Usually the only time we got mail was when we come back to port.
Your main port, wherever you were stationed, like after you left, the ship was out of San Francisco to start with,
right.
And then it was either out of was it assigned to San Francisco the whole time?
That's when where all our mail would come to was APO,
San Francisco,
such a number, yeah. San Francisco. And
they knew where you were going, so they forwarded it?
The mail always, I don't think we ever had any forwarded, except when we went to Bombay, it was 3 months from the time we left San Francisco till we went clear around.
Mm-hmm.
We made stops in Australia and Bombay and until we got to Boston, it was 3 months that trip. One deal that when we went to Bombay, we was there for 2 weeks. That was a we could get off the ship every other day in the afternoon only. And it was just like pictures you see of how terrible people living, just lay down at night in the streets and sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed there for 2 weeks, like I say. We had a bunch of the Indian people that came on, and they were building barbed wire barricades on the ship. We took on some prisoners there. I don't remember where we dropped them, but probably in Australia or the United States. I don't think we took them clear back to Boston. I'm not sure. I don't recall. But we had those guys working, and they did all their work with their feet and hands and a little saw and a hammer. That's the only tools they had.
It worked.
They sat there and used their feet as much as they did their hands. Those Indian people.
They didn't have any shoes, huh?
No.
You had shoes, so that would have been a little tougher.
I remember one thing. At the dock we was at, like I say, we was there for 2 weeks. And the day after we pulled out away from that dock, another ship pulled in. And then that next day, the munition ship, they wouldn't allow them in the docks. They had to be out a mile or two. Well, it blew up. And the ship that pulled in to the dock where we was at, it just pushed it and lifted it up and set it on the dock.
But how did you write home often?
Not too much. Of course, as soon as I got back to San Francisco, our home port, I'd call home.
That was easier.
I didn't do a lot of writing.
Did they write you, your folks?
Oh, yeah.
Good. So how did that feel? You got back to some...
Everybody was always waiting for the mail when we got back to port.
That was better than good food, wasn't it?
Yep. See what the latest news was from home.
The war kind of lasted a while, you noticed. As the war continued, what did your thoughts contain?
Well, it was, of course, everybody wondered when it was ever going to get over, and we just had a lot of mixed feelings about how it was going to last, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was looking forward to the day when...
Well, I think everybody would.
And everybody could see toward that last few months, you know, that it was looking better.
That would have been January to April, and you were in the European theater by then, though, right? And that war kind of ended up in April.
That ended there. Of course, that last winter there in Germany, Germany was pretty well beat up, but they fought to the end, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did they turn you around and send you off towards the Pacific after they were done with you in Europe?
No. That ship ended up, I think it was probably just mothballed and finally cut up for scrap after the war was over sometime, what I heard.
Okay. When you left it, how long before you got out of the military did you get...
Well, I left it before the war was over.
Where'd you go?
I left it in April, I guess, of 44.
Okay. That's a full year before the European thing is over.
Well, yeah, approximately, I guess.
Okay.
Well, anyway... I spent the last from April until about January or sometime of 46 in the States
off of the ship.
Yeah.
Where were you at?
I was in hospitals.
Wait a second, run that by me again.
I was in the hospitals.
Oh.
I was at Fort Eustis, Virginia, and Sampson, New York.
Military hospitals.
Yep.
What were you doing there? Were you injured or something?
Well, it all started, if you want to hear the whole story. That's
why I'm here.
I think we was in Norfolk, Virginia. One time we was across the Atlantic. And they run everybody over for a chest x-ray.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got out to sea and they called me and one of the other guys on the ship up the doctor. They said x-rays on both of him and I showed some little shadow or something. So they x-rayed me on the ship. They said, yeah. So when we got back to, we went back to Virginia, and Norfolk, where we, so when I got there, why, they sent me over to the hospital there, Norfolk. And so they took x-rays there. After about 2 weeks, the doctor said, well, you haven't had a leave for a long time. So he said, why don't you take off for 30 days?
When was the time before that that you had any real leave?
Well, one time we had 9 days, I think.
In all of the 4 years during that you served?
Yeah, one time during that period.
Then he gave you a 30-day get out of jail free.
Yeah. What'd well, anyway, you do? I took that 30 days. I come back to Dodge, see my parents. And I went back expecting to be sent back to my ship. Well, I went back and I took some more x-rays. And they said, well, that spot's smaller. They were just a little spot.
Yeah.
And so if it had been the same, they'd have sent me back to ship. But it was smaller. Okay. And so they kept me. So we laid around there, he didn't do nothing. And I don't know the exact date, but they finally, there was a tuberculosis hospital at Sampson, New York.
Whereabouts is that, say, from the city, do you know?
From New York City? Oh, it's south of Rochester, New York.
Okay.
It's around the Finger Lakes.
Okay, central New York, yeah.
Yeah.
Very pretty area.
Yeah, and so they sent me and two or three other guys there up to Sampson, New York. And we went in there and there was a big ward, probably 50 guys at least, two rows of beds, one down one side, one down the other.
Not very private.
But there was a couple of them in real bad shape. And I never did have any treatment of any kind. I hope this isn't getting too boring.
No.
I hope you can erase any of it you decide
to. No, we're not erasing a word of it. Maybe she'll block out some of the stuff I said. But
the way they treated it in those days, the ones that got treatment, they would stick a needle in between your ribs and pump air between your rib cage and your lungs to take pressure off your lungs. And those guys would come back, boy, they was feeling bad, that pressure just, and I don't know how long it'd last. I think a couple of days they would feel bad. But that was their treatment in those days. And like I say, I never got any treatment because mine was, I always doubted that I ever had any kind of tuberculosis. I'd had pneumonia about 6 months before I went in the Navy.
I see, yeah.
And I recall after I had that pneumonia for a few weeks, I'd have a just sort of a little pain back in my back area where my lungs were.
Okay.
And I always felt that that was just a spot from, but of course I figured it probably got irritated in my work.
Oh boy.
Of course, like I say, it worked in a machine shop, and some it was confined.
The welding,
welding
stuff, yeah.
Fumes from welding and all of that, but one thing we done too is I worked a little bit with asbestos.
And lead paint.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Various other hazardous materials.
So, anyway, I always felt that my only problem was after effects of that pneumonia, and it left a scar on my lung, and the living conditions I was under, it irritated it up a little bit. I never knew it, but except for they would have never known it if it hadn't been for that x-ray.
Well, can you think of anybody that's interesting, very interesting? So when the war ended, you were still in the hospital?
Yeah.
When